6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
My little thing.
I'm changing my noun.
All right, I'll change my noun. If you're here, pretend you're not.
Okay. I have to tell you, the flavor of kiwi guava, mm-hmm, of Celsius, I bought a whole pack.
Yeah. Good?
It's so good. It's so good. And the thing that I like about the Celsius is that their PSI and their bubbles is not too big. So you're not like having big burps. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Monster Energy drinks for me, that's what happens.
And see, anyway, the thing that I'm not a Monster hater, but most times when I have a Monster, I end up feeling like my teeth are going to fall out of my head. Because they're just so acidic. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I agree. Well, guess what? Guess what today is?
What?
It's wrestling made me cry.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I literally, my heart dropped for a little bit. I was like, okay, it's not anniversary. It's not birthday. What am I missing? I was like running into dates. I was like, No.
Technically, according to Google, April 27th is National Gummy Bear Day.
I am a gummy bear.
I love a good gummy bear.
I don't remember what company makes them, but have you ever had like a super sour gummy bear?
Mm.
So good.
So good.
So well, good.
Good morning. Happy good morning. Sunday.
Shout out to everybody who sat through that 2 minute. We went live unprepared and we didn't realize that we were unprepared.
Listen, you're the producer on this. So
I am the producer. Isn't it crazy that of everybody to produce, Jeremy was like, yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, you're fine.
Have the keys to the kingdom. Have access to all of these. But you know what? It's okay.
Mm-hmm. It is okay.
But yeah, this is Wrestling Made Me Cry. It's a show where me and Collins come and we talk about wrestling that made us cry. And we missed last week because it was Easter.
Yes.
And Collins was doing fun things, including almost perishing in a Waffle House fire? A Chick-fil-A fire? What was it? I can't remember.
Waffle House, considering the specs of everything. It was a Cheesecake Factory. So last week I was doing panel moderation for the SakuraCon here, which is the anime and Japanese convention. So they needed someone with a big, lovely voice to be on a little mic, do crowd control, do whatever. So that's what I was doing last weekend. And in the middle of one of the panels, I think the panel was strange anime for strange people. We hear sirens go off. And I looked out the conference room windows and we're next to like a bunch of hotels and stuff, mm-hmm, like that. And if you've been in downtown Seattle, across the street is the Cheesecake Factory. I was told that there were flames coming out of the back. So it was a grease fire.
Yeah.
This specific Cheesecake Factory location is set to close in 2 weeks. So guess what? Early release for them.
Yeah.
But the smoke poured into our exhibit halls. We had to evacuate, you know, trying to get thousands of people to do something. And they're just like unaffected by it. It's like, so that was fun. And then, you know,
but you know what? You lived.
I lived.
I was worried because you texted me about it and then stopped responding. Oh my god. I was like, Collins died, and the last thing they did was text me.
I just like texted you. I was like, look at this crazy article. Yeah. And then we started evacuating. I was like, oh, we gotta evacuate. We gotta get out of here. Because when you hear a bunch of sirens and you're in downtown Seattle, you're like, this isn't just like one or two. There were like 10 to 12 giant big rigs all blaring their horns.
That's crazy.
It's pretty crazy. But we lived, and the panel, the panelists were like, should we just like keep going? I was like, yeah, no one's going to be in the space for 30 minutes. Like, and they just kept the thing going. It was kind of fun. But unfortunately the big like artists alley kind of exhibit halls, they closed because there was smoke. But we were the side of the building that we didn't get any smoke. So
I'm glad you lived. To come here to Wrestling Made Me Cry.
Yeah.
Talk about.
Did we miss any wrestling last weekend?
Did we miss like any good wrestling? Did anything happen? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't think so either. One thing I do know is that if you want your question or your comment read on air, make sure to submit a super chat. I thought about stealing Maggie and Rob's little ticker at the bottom that says like submit a super chat, but then it would cover up our lovely
names. I know.
So maybe these
colors, by the way, the pink and the I don't know, golden yellow, those are the colors of the summer.
I know.
So
we are summer people. I've already started tanning. I was talking about this with people earlier in Florida. You have to start tanning in like February and March so that you have enough like melanin in your skin to not get sunburnt all summer.
It's true. I probably have negative zero.
I'm not a vitamin person, but we're working on it.
I have a vitamin D deficiency. Like you
got to get one of those, the like people in Norway have those little things you put your face in and it like shoots UV light at you. You know what I mean?
I have a happy lamp over here, which is so funny you mentioned that because it allegedly helps you. But
anyway, but back to wrestling before we go completely off the rails.
Your shirt.
Wrestling shirt of the day.
Oh.
The Elite.
Oh.
Unplanned, mind you, guys. Just saying.
Well, I wanted to wear my sherbert colored shorts today.
Yeah.
And
I'm wearing pink Barbie shorts. You can't really see them. Oh. But there you go. Pink Barbie shorts.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
It's because there's pink in here. It's a vibe.
It's a vibe. I love it. I'm excited for everything that's going to happen in the next, like, 3 months in wrestling.
Honestly, I was thinking about it today because we have Double or Nothing, which is in Arizona this year, and it looks like it's shaping up to be a pretty big show. It's going to be pretty good. And then we also have All In, Y'all In, if you will.
I know you're trying to convince me to go now.
No pressure, of course, but I did buy my flights this morning.
No pressure.
It's okay because my sister is going and some other people in media I know are going. So like no pressure. But and if you can't go, I'll just find my way to Seattle at some point this year and we'll get breakfast or something. It'll be okay. It'll be okay.
There's so much happening and I'm trying to budget it all with everything going on. Because here's my thing. my best friend is getting married.
Oh, yes. I remember.
And then my brother, who lives in New Jersey, right, where all this accent and stuff comes from, him and his wife and my nephew are like, we're just going to show up.
Show up where?
Well, I don't know when. If it's the weekend that I'm in Texas.
They're
going
to come to your house?
Yeah. They'll be in this room. I got to baby-proof all this stuff. You know, I got all these mannequin heads over here.
Imagine you're just in Texas and they're like, dude.
we're here. I know. This is insane. It's insane. The only thing that I don't like about unannounced guests or the guests that go, this is the exact time that I'm going to be here, is this same thing of like paralysis of like, AW is going to be here in June.
Yeah.
So then it's like, okay, are you going to, do I need to buy extra tickets for that? Are you going to be here in June? Are you going to buy? Do I need to halt all of my vacation stuff? Usually in August for my birthday, I usually plan a little weekend away.
Yeah, you need a timeline.
I do.
Because listen, the summer, the way I see it is my resistance is now joy. And I'm going to make myself so happy because I'm working a little bit in the summer, but not a whole lot in the summer.
Okay.
Because, you know, people know this. I work on a 9-month contract like all university employees. But we have All In.
Y'all
and Forbidden Door.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then guess what? We still have All Out. And guess what? We still have Full Gear. So AEW is on like this crazy run of TV, right? They've already had like, you know, pay-per-view of the year contenders already this year.
Right.
But we're just like sprinting to the finish now with AEW. They are like firing on all cylinders. Some stuff isn't hitting as, you know, as much for me, but the stuff that's hitting, hitting. And we'll talk about it. But I had a moment where I looked up the flights to Texas.
Okay.
And the prices went down. And they, you know, the little tracker thing was telling me this is the lowest they're going to be. And I had a moment where I was like, it's going to be Omega versus Okada.
Mm-hmm.
Probably for the last time ever.
Yeah.
I have to be there. So I'm going to be there. I am going to make it happen. But I'm also assuming that Moxley is going to lose the title at All In. Don't know to who. Probably, hopefully Ospreay. Fingers crossed for Ospreay. Chat, fingers crossed for Ospreay.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a good show. And AEW is just like in a really good place. Like the Owen Hart tournament, both of them, the men's and the women's, is going really well.
Mm-hmm.
They have so many stories flowing, you know, about the titles, but also surrounding the titles and everything. And one thing for me that has really made this run of TV worthwhile is I'm still not a fan of the Death Riders, but I feel like they are better than they have been all year simply because they're no longer trios champions, but they've added so many fresh faces to the story. Like we have the Ops.
Right. So
low key, I kind of love. Mm-hmm. The Young Bucks are still there, but we also have Swerve and Omega.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, probably soon Hangman, I'm guessing. And so I'm optimistic about the Death Riders. I don't know the Darby situation. Nobody knows. Because Darby is apparently on the mountain. People, the travel website, whatever, they took down the thing. But they did have a thing where, like, you could watch the people hike Mount Everest, like, through pictures that they took. But they apparently took down Darby's. Maybe too many people were looking at it. I don't know. But he was on the mountain. But apparently you have to live on the mountain for a little bit. So I don't know if he was living on the mountain or hiking the mountain. I don't know. But I would bet big money that they've abandoned the Darby plans. It just feels like they've abandoned the Darby plans. And maybe I'm just being dumb. Maybe I'm just being dumb. But I'm optimistic a little bit. A little bit optimistic.
I don't know how to feel about it. I feel indifferent. I feel nothing.
About Darby or the Death Riders or...
The whole shebang. And I don't feel like I should be feeling that way towards the main championship.
Yeah.
Because I am so involved, like enveloped in now the trio storyline and the tag storyline and the TNT and the TBS and the women. Like, I feel like every other title I have been focused on.
Yeah.
And now I just don't feel connected to the main title. I don't know if that's on purpose or because I just am not interested. But
yeah. Well, I
enveloped in. Yes, enveloped in is a thing. Yes. Enveloped.
Enveloped.
Mm-hmm.
Enveloped, if you will. I don't think that I think the Death Rider story is always going to be remembered as bad. You know, like a bad decision AW made. They should have gotten rid of it before, all that kind of stuff. But I'm somewhat okay with it now because I know the matches we're going to get from it are going to be good. Like, we have the 8-man tag on Wednesday, which Mark Briscoe's in. we have Joe and Mox. We have, I'm presuming, you know, this is speculation. I'm presuming there's going to be something fun at Double or Nothing. Collins and I talked earlier, like Stadium Stampede, Anarchy in the Arena, like something along those lines, something fun. And it's just going to be crazy, but I'm optimistic about it, about not having the world title be the center point of AEW, because I think that this story being so bad has let other stories kind of shine. Like, fans are really okay with investing in other things a lot more, especially the both tournaments, which they were going to be good anyway, because look at the people that are in them. But but I think people have, because that has been so mid and like not worth your time, the other things have become so much more worth your time. So I think people like Ospreay, people like Kyle Fletcher, Mercedes and Athena and Jamie and Chris, I think they've all really benefited from that. So should we have had a great world title and great everything else? Yes. But I'm cautiously optimistic and I like the ops.
Yeah.
I didn't like the ops at first. I was like, that's a little strange, but I like them now.
What did you think of Master P coming out on Dynamite?
I thought it was so funny. They announced him, and I was like, okay, I somewhat get it. Mm-hmm. But then he was fine on the mic. He introduced the ops, all the kind of stuff. And then Joe grabs Mox in like a hold, like a choke hold. And Master P is just taking shots at John Moxley. He's just punching him in the gut.
For what reason? Yeah. I will only appear on TV if I can punch John Moxley in the gut. Yeah.
Same.
Absolutely. Same. Absolutely.
I thought it was so funny. He, you know, I don't know if he added much to the story, but he was cool while he was there. It was funnier to me when the Young Bucks come out and John Moxley's he's mad at them because he doesn't want to be friends with the Young Bucks. Remember, guys. And Marina pulls him out of the ring.
Yeah.
Marina's like, no, 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 don't do that. No. And John just goes with it.
Yeah. I loved it.
I loved it.
For those who know, Master P had a small run in WCW during that time of WCW, 1999. So.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Tontandia products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Those who know. Those who know.
Those who know. It was funny, though. I will give it to him. Joe. Samoa Joe has taken this story and elevated it. Like, if anybody's going to save the Death Riders, like, salvage the story, it is Samoa Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he somewhat has. Because it seems like we're still going to do a Team AEW versus Team Losers story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be Death Riders and Young Bucks. And then Team AEW. So the players they've got now for Team AEW leaps and bounds above last time.
Absolutely.
We got Omega. We got Swerve. We got Joe. Presuming we're going to have Hangman, maybe even Eddie Kingston if he's back in time, which you need to speak because the beard is gone and he is training.
Yo, him and Cesar Bononi be posting those videos on Instagram, and it is giving my little heart so much happiness. I need my partner back. That was my attempt at a...
I'm hoping he's good. I don't know. His injury was pretty bad, yes.
Sure, yeah.
But, like, we could do a Mercedes and bring him back a little bit early. Not ready to wrestle, but he can get on the mic and he can cook Jon Moxley, right?
What do you think their friendship is going to be like when he returns?
I think Eddie Kingston is going to come back to AEW and he is going to be targeting Jon Moxley because he knows Jon Moxley is a loser. And there's so many things that he can point to. Jon Moxley having consistently the worst match on every pay-per-view of the last 8 months. Jon Moxley letting Marina Shafir carry around his world title belt in a briefcase and boss him around. Jon Moxley running from all competition, seemingly.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime he's remotely threatened, he runs through the crowd. Jon Moxley relying on Claudio to take care of the people who want to challenge Jon Moxley. There's so many things. And I think Eddie's going to come back because you just know he's going to come back fired up. I think he's going to come back. He's going to get on a mic and he's going to go on a tirade. And it's going to be...
That's all I need. That's all I need.
That's all AEW needs at the end of the day. They're like building the strong opposition to the Death Riders, this like collection of baby faces.
Yeah.
And anybody who joins that baby face group is going to be immediately elevated because fans want to see the Death Riders go away. So whoever makes them go away is set for life. And if it's Eddie, it's Eddie. If it's Kenny, it's Kenny, Swerve, Hangman. The list goes on and on.
This is hilarious. I need to know currently who are the best promo in AEW?
Currently?
Top five. Yeah.
MVP. Toni Storm. Oh, that's so hard. Because I want to say Mercedes. But then, do I think that Mercedes is better than, like, Tony Schiavone or Christian Cage? Christian Cage, probably. Adam Copeland, which... Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, Toni Storm, MVP, Mercedes Moné, Copeland...
Okay.
I would pick Copeland over Christian right now, at least.
Okay.
And it's people who are active, not people who are injured.
Mm-hmm.
Is it completely unhinged if I say Dax Harwood? Is it, like, completely wrong?
No, you can choose whomever you want.
Maybe Dax. Maybe... maybe Willow. I love a Willow promo.
I love a Willow promo.
I think maybe Willow. But I think MVP and Tony are solid number ones.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Now I'm, like, second-guessing myself. Who do you think are the top five?
Okay. Justin AW.
Yeah.
Tony Storm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
MVP, great answer. That's the thing. It's like, who comes on the mic and you're like, this is going to be fantastic.
Yeah. Tony and MVP are just so leaps and bounds above. I know. You know,
that I, like, I love a Christian Cage because there's nothing that man can do that I would hate him. I'm sorry. I love everything he does.
Swerve and Hangman. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
I forgot about Hangman.
Oh my god, Hangman. Samoa Joe. You know what?
Kyle Fletcher. Will Ospreay.
I don't like it. I don't know.
We forgot everybody. See, okay, redo. Pretend nothing happened.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, it's MVP. Who,
like, yeah, MVP Tony. Okay.
Samoa Joe.
Okay.
Adam Copeland.
Okay.
Will Ospreay.
Will Ospreay. Okay.
I love when he gets emotional while wrestling. And, like, when he was posting on Instagram and he was like, there's no better feeling than this. And it's just people shouting we Ospreay.
We forgot about Kenny Omega.
And Mark Briscoe.
And Mark.
Okay, start over again. Yeah, start over. Start over. Everybody this start over.
This is fine. There are no rules to your list.
However, there is, though. Because MVP and Tony Storm are undeniable.
If you want me to read your chat, or if you want me to read your list, go ahead and
submit a super chat. It's hard for us to keep up with the chat, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
We do our best, though. We see you. We appreciate you. But if you want to make sure that your question or comment or whatever is run on air, make sure to submit a super chat. We read all of those. They pop up on my screen in bright neon colors. So I get them all.
Amen.
But maybe this is another thing after the show I'll post on social media. We can get the gears turning. When I posted that, the pillars of the women's division one, that was crazy.
Yeah.
People started to get a little snappy with each other. I didn't appreciate that. Didn't appreciate that at all, but it's okay. Who do you think is the worst promo in AEW? I have
Matt
one.
Caster.
Yep. Yep. 100%. I knew you were going to say that, and I'm so glad. Chris Jericho. So bad. So bad. I'm glad Chris Jericho did his little tantrum and ran away. Or does AEW TV feel so much better when you don't have to listen to the learning tree?
I love a Big Bill. I love a Brian Keith.
Yeah.
Keep them.
They deserve better.
Chris Jericho.
Chris Jericho is just so bad.
Mm-hmm.
But AEW's hot streak is so much better now that he's not there.
Agreed.
It's just night and day, night and day. FTR has cut some good promos. Especially their little battles with Tony Schiavone. I've been into it. I'm not going to... FTR's heel turn, I've been into it. I cannot lie. You think Don Callis is the worst promo in AEW? You know what? Actually, with how good everybody else is, I do think Don Callis is falling down the ranking. Because if you think about it, Don Callis got so much mic time when AW was like in the trenches, like at its worst. And now, I don't think he keeps up. Interesting. Athena's a really good promo too.
Yeah, but is she technically AEW or is she technically, I mean, I guess.
I don't really know what's going on with ROH. They moved the show, the pay-per-view. They moved Supercard to, which Supercard is now going to be the night before Y'all In.
I got heated online about this because before AEW, there was a specific calendar for a very long time where specific things went. It is part of the history of Ring of Honor. And now they're pushing Supercard in its not place. That's not where it's supposed to go. That's where Death Before Dishonor. So you want to push Supercard there. Okay. And now you want to push Death Before Dishonor to All In, which, okay. I just feel like that's how Ring of Honor has been treated this whole time, is an afterthought.
And I don't get it, because Ring of Honor pay-per-views have been like the highlight of Ring of Honor. Like, you don't watch Ring of Honor week to week. Most people just watch the pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'm assuming they're going to put on a good show for Supercard because it's the night before Y'all In and people are going to be in town. They might as well just go see Ring of Honor. I'm assuming it'll be a good show. But I don't know how they're going to get there.
Because
I'm also assuming that Athena's going to be wrestling it All In. So if you take Athena off the table, and because she's probably still going to be Ring of Honor Women's World Champion by then, because she's not going to have a pay-per-view to lose the title in the interim.
Yeah.
So Ring of Honor, I mean, you have a strong world champion. You have a strong pure champion. You could probably get something cooking with them. But they also, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Because they did yank Athena out of Ring of Honor. And like, Lee Moriarty's been excellent. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have the new women's title. The world, I mean, you have a strong world champion, but there's nothing. You know what I mean? Like, Chris Jericho lost the title.
I'm just really irritated that your TV and your world for Ring of Honor have been fought multiple times on non-Ring of Honor television and also changed hands on non-Ring of Honor television. I get that specifically that some of these builds could not wait, right? We could not wait until next week, 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
Right? I get that the Battle of Super Juniors are there. I get that Fozzy's going on tour this time. However, you didn't need to put the titles on them then.
That's true. I don't get it. But it's... Ring of Honor just needs to have like its own identity, essentially.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if it's going to be the NXT where you call people up into AW, they can't be the Women's World Champion when you do that. I think that's abundantly
the one storyline that has held Ring of Honor afloat for the last year and a half.
Yeah. I don't get it. But I don't know. I'm glad that Athena is in AEW because she got to do the Owen Hart tournament. And we have this feud with Mercedes, which I'm assuming they're going to do more with. Fingers crossed, chat. Ring of Honor just needs a reset. And I thought that the women's pure title was going to be the reset, that they were going to sign some new people, get something going, sign some people off the indies perhaps, bring in some talent from Japan, make it really fun. I don't know though.
As one of the few media people left still covering Ring of Honor, I can assure you that there's nobody that wants AEW to succeed with Ring of Honor more than myself and Kyle K. Sparks. Kyle K. Sparks has been at it since the inception of Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
A loyal subscriber, so to speak. And all we want to do is see it succeed. The foundation of Ring of Honor intact. Like it not be so bastardized. You know what I mean? Like it's just at this point, it is a shell of what it was. And it just sucks to see something that held so, it's hard for me to put into words that like, it's something that I've held at such high regard, especially the Pure Championship. You guys know that the Pure Championship is my favorite title of all promotions. It sucks to see how the company that I once loved has turned into an afterthought and a joke. Because it's not a joke to me. It's wrestling, but it plays the strings of my heart of a different type of wrestling, a different type of wrestler in Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to cry here.
No. I think ultimately Tony bought Ring of Honor to save it. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have a plan and they never made a plan. Ultimately. So I don't know. I don't know where they're going to go with it. I don't mind doing ROH, AEW, like cross promotional stuff. Cause I think sometimes it can be fun.
Absolutely.
But you just need to if you're Ring of Honor champion, you need to be Ring of Honor and cross over into AEW.
Yeah.
Like you can't just be an AEW and be Ring of Honor champ and never cross into Ring of Honor. If that makes sense.
You can't that's the joke that it is like once people become the champion of, you know, a Ring of Honor thing, whether it's the main title, whether it's a Pure title, or just a TV title, whatever, it's the fact that the moment that that happens, they are no longer on Ring of Honor television. That's what happened to Mark Briscoe. Mark Briscoe was on Ring of Honor television week after week after week, gets a championship and then disappears.
Yeah.
That's what everyone was complaining about Eddie Kingston when he was champ, is that he never really showed up on Ring of Honor television. He gets it and then he never showed up back on Ring of Honor. He gets, you know, beaten by Chris Jericho. We know that Chris Jericho is not coming to freaking Ring of Honor. All he does is cutting backstage promos. Because guess what? Ring of Honor is filmed at the same time as AEW. It's not like it's at a separate location. And don't even get me started on these tag titles.
Yeah.
Where they have forced people to relinquish the tag championship. But then all of a sudden, you have the Von Erichs, wrestling royalty, where are they? Tagging with the Outrunners, who the Outrunners are only being used in Ring of Honor so that they can shoot to superstardom on AEW television.
Yep. And if they want Ring of Honor to be a farm promotion for AEW, say that.
Yeah.
And act like it is. And then, because I have no problem if that's what they want it to be, and investing in those stories, because I know that the people I like are going to shine and will do great things in AEW.
Absolutely.
Like, that was part of the appeal of Black and Gold NXT, was you're rooting for these underdogs. And I have no problem with that, if that's what they want to do. But they're not acting like that's what they want to do, is the problem. So I don't know, but ultimately, it sucks, I think, more because AEW is doing so well. And AEW has brought back a lot of people. Like, Joe is back and Shibata is back. Jamie Hayter is back and Penelope and Trent. And it's
I love Penelope with, oh, where did my voice go? Penelope with Megan Bain has been such an adventure to see because OG AEW people love Penelope Ford, love where she's come from, have cried with her, cheered with her, how much she's grown coming into this promotion. And every time we see her do something great, do something awesome, be included on something, I go, yes, because she looks like someone that belongs on television.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about that. Megan Bain looks like someone who should, who belongs on television. So more of that, please. More of that, please. Yes. You know?
And their pairing does feel a little unconventional because they're stylistically, not in terms of their wrestling, but in terms of their wrestling and in terms of their characters.
Yeah.
Not all that similar, but they, it kind of works. I can't lie. It kind of works. And I like that. I like having more women's pairings. Like,
yeah,
not every singles wrestler in the women's division needs to just be by themselves or have a male valet. Like, we can have some little, no shade to Luther, of course, but we can have,
never
duos. And I still firmly believe that AEW would be fine if they had women's tag titles. I know people say that the division is too small, but I don't think that's true anymore. I really don't.
I don't think it's too small. They just need more time.
Yeah.
If new, more titles were added for the women's division, does that guarantee that they'll be on a pay-per-view? Because you know that Tony doesn't book non-title matches for women.
Yeah, which is still my biggest gripe with the women's division. I don't know. I think they have the people, and I think AEW has the space. I think it's just a matter of pulling the trigger and doing it. Because I also think this is a point where fans have been the most invested in the women's division, which just says a lot for these fans. Trust me. So I think, obviously, Mercedes is a strong champion. Obviously, Tony is a strong champion. But when you have people like Chris and Willow and Anna Jay and Queen Aminata and like this strong group of talent who just kind of have to wait, I think that's where they get in like murky waters. Because in the men's division, you have the TNT and you have the world title, but you also have the international and the continental and the tag and the trios. And apparently every Ring of Honor title is also available to you. So I don't know. I feel like if you're going to keep adding people to the women's division, tag titles is not a bad idea. Because you can do some really, really fun stuff. And it also, I mean, I am boycotting WWE. But they have women's tag titles. And I think if you're going to be the alternative, you should double down on it. And do women's tag titles and actually do them. And not give them attention. And not act like the other people. Which, that is the end of my conversation about WWE. But also, AEW seems to want to build a strong relationship with Stardom and with CMLL. So, build a strong relationship. Build a strong women's division, and you can have that crossover easily. That's why I'm really curious, like, how Forbidden Door shakes out. It's historically not been the best for the women at Forbidden Door. But maybe the tide will turn.
I have very much enjoyed the CMLL guys infiltrating Ring of Honor. I saw a comment of like, more Lucha. I'm going to say till I'm blue in the face, Lucha Libre is the foundation of Ring of Honor. Go back to your first year of Ring of Honor and there is your Lucha Libre. Literally bringing in some of those old guys. They're in their 50s and they're moving around like the 20 somethings and the 30 somethings.
Yeah.
They are just massive. And that's what I love. I absolutely love seeing some of these guys. It's like, what, you know, you kind of get familiar once you kind of see them a little bit more. But oh my gosh, you learn so much. And then when you start following them, when you start looking at CMLL results, when you see you go, oh, like these guys are the pillar of CMLL, not necessarily your mainstays or your main events, but they can go, they're doing suicide dives. They're doing flips off the second rope or going to the outside. Like not all of them wrestle like Commander or Vikingo, you know, but
yeah, but they're good.
They go. So,
and I expect, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if you have a Ring of Honor subscription, go back and watch, I think it's episode 104, 105. And it's literally just CMLL versus Ring of Honor. It's fantastic.
I've really been enjoying not just Ring of Honor having more Lucha, but AEW as well. And there's going to be some crazy Lucha stuff for the Texas show, Supercard and All In, because of course there is. I'm so excited for it, though, because I love Lucha. And I feel like sometimes when Lucha wrestlers come to the U.S., especially, you know, the big promotions, they kind of have to tone down some. But they're not doing that so far in CMLL, ROH, or in AW, the Lucha people that they brought in. So I am invested, especially because the Lucha Bros have left. Not that, you know, there's, you know, a quota for Lucha talent, but I think that like fans are searching for Lucha to like grab onto, and they've introduced a lot of people so far who have been excellent. You know, just top to bottom, because you have Hologram, who's been a fan favorite, the Beast Mortos, who has been a fan favorite, Lucian is back. Like the list goes on and on. So I'm into it.
I'm into it.
Oh, I'm always committed to AEW being, or going back to being a show that has a variety and a mix of styles, that it's not just, because it did feel like for a little bit there, especially in 2023, like to the tail end, where it was like AEW style or nothing. But now we have Lucha. We have the ops with like more Samoa Joe hard hitting grappling kind of stuff.
Samoa Joe's his own style of wrestling.
He's his own style. why is that man so agile?
Okay, you ever just watch compilation videos on YouTube of specific wrestlers and you're like, you know what? I need to be reintroduced with TNA Samoa Joe. Oh my God. Ring of Honor Samoa Joe. That man. I love him so much.
We have a super chat from Bianca Lea, who says, at Stardom today, Thelka lost and was fired. Possibly wrapping up her time with the promotion would be a great AEW addition for the women's
division. Okay, you want to see a badass...
Why do you censor yourself?
I don't know if I can say that here. But Tekla, she... Video game character, anime character, like action star. You see her, you see the way that she brings herself out to the ring, you see the way that she wrestles, you see what she did to Athena back in January. My God,
I forgot about that match.
Bring more of that if she comes to AEW. Yes. And I know that there will be comparisons and be like, oh, well, AEW is trying to keep up, you know, because they got Julie, you know, WWE got Juliet.
We don't have quotas.
We don't have quotas. This is not a competition.
Yeah.
It's all or nothing because imagine Tekla with like versus Athena versus Mercedes versus Megan Bain, like versus Chris Statlander, like.
I thought you were building like a crazy multi-woman match. I was like, I don't know where this is going to happen, but I'm invested.
Okay. That would be incredible though.
It would.
I although I hate a four corner survival match for Ring of Honor because they're always so messy and it's always just like, oh, we have four people, let's just like put them together. But if it's intentional and they're all meant to be there, and okay, let's do it. Let's go.
Yeah. I'm invested. Thank you for the super chat, by the way. We just
by the way, speaking of Lucha, AEW Grand Slam at Arena Mexico sold out.
I forgot about that.
Sold the That's fuck
June,
out.
June 18th? June 6th,
7th, 19th? June 18th.
June 18th. It's going to be crazy. Because if you think about it, right, it's their first time in Mexico. So it's going to be, like, they need to make a statement, right? And they need to say, like, AEW is not only, I mean, they've already proven with the sellout, they're popular in Mexico. But they need to prove that, like, they have something to bring. Because Mexico is a wrestling country.
Yeah.
Like, and they're underrated in the eyes of Americans, I think. But
yeah, because some Americans see, oh, you can't speak English, I am not interested. Yeah.
Literally. And then they don't have like the, you know, the way a lot of Americans like fetishize Japan, like they don't have. But I think AEW is going to put on banger matches. Obviously the build to All In, like, it's not going to be, you know, All In pay-per-view level crazy shenanigans, but it's going to be, I think, one of their best shows of the year. And I'm so excited. Like, obviously, you have to put out the Young Bucks as heels in Mexico. You have to do it. You need to give Kenny Omega a Lucha opponent. I don't know who it would be, but you need to do it. And it needs to be a good match. And they need to have significant time. You just have to. Oh, yeah, I totally forgot. Do you remember last time? So remember when FTR were like AAA tag champs and they went to Mexico?
Yeah.
And it was like FTR with like Vicky Guerrero or something. And the fans hated them and like spit on them and threw beer at them and all that kind of stuff. FTR are heels again. You can't bring FTR. They're going to get destroyed. I love Mexican wrestling fans. They just go like balls to the wall, insane. I dig it. So it sold out. How many tickets is that? Because I don't know how big the arena is. Let me pull up WrestleTix.
I was about to say, I'm just looking at the Fightful report. So,
I'll pull up WrestleTix. Hold on. I am venturing into the hell site, formerly known as Twitter, to go to WrestleTix.
okay. See. It says current available ticks is 1,765.
Yeah. WrestleTix, I need you to give me like a total setup number here, big guy.
Yeah.
Lucha Blog says 8,174 pesos is the highest ticket price in the history of wrestling fans at Arena Mexico. And they're still selling out like crazy.
That's crazy.
So for this setup, this is per WrestleTix, mind you. For this setup, the lower bowl accounts for a total of 6,004 seats, not including the upper levels. And they've only started opening the upper levels gradually. So like thousands.
Yeah.
A big freaking show.
That's insane.
In Mexico City. I love it. AEW having, like, taking risks and doing these shows in other countries and still maintaining healthy relationships with other promotions in other countries. This is the wrestling I want. This is the kind of environment I want. All I need is the abolition of no-compete clauses and higher pay. And we have the ideal working environment in wrestling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think workers should be able to work wherever they want, whenever they want. And for some reason, that is always controversial when I say it. But I think it's true. But anyway, AEW in Mexico, it's April 27th, so like 6 weeks or so, a little bit more than 6 weeks, something like that. And then immediately a month later, they have the Ring of Honor show and All In. And then in August, Forbidden Door in the UK. And then All Out, which I don't know if they've announced anything for All Out yet. I don't think so.
And here's the thing. I think international markets are proving they want wrestling, whether it's WWE, AEW, whatever promotion, New Japan, when they can get there. I think because those UK shows I was seeing, they're alive and well.
Yeah.
International fans want to come out and they are showing out.
Yeah, isn't AW also doing a TV taping in Scotland before Forbidden Door? I think so.
Insane. I love it.
Wrestling is in such a renaissance period, and I know it doesn't feel like it because... Yeah,
Glasgow, Scotland for a Collision and a Dynamite.
I love that. It feels like we're in a renaissance for wrestling in the sense that there's now more than ever, like in the last 30 years, a really viable, thriving wrestling economy outside of the promotion that shall not be named. And I'm just so into it. And I also think it's very interesting because obviously with social media and the internet, fans have more access to these international promotions than before. Mm-hmm. Like obviously you used to have tapes and DVDs and all that kind of stuff. But it just feels so much more interconnected now. And even if fans don't watch like New Japan or Stardom or, you know, TJPW or CMLL or, you know, all these other promotions, they have like somewhat of an awareness of who the stars of those promotions are simply because of social media. And I think that has really worked to AEW's benefit.
Right.
And AEW is so back. Knock on wood.
Oh, are you saying that like every show?
But like, I really mean it now. I mean it this time, guys. I mean it. Because Chris Jericho's gone.
Yeah.
John Moxley's tolerable. Kenny Omega's back. Swerve and Hangman are circling around each other. Am I into MJF and the Hurt Syndicate? No. But I do like Bobby Lashley.
Okay. I wanted to ask you, did you have any doubts that Bobby Lashley was not going to steal the car?
I knew he was going to steal that car. Bobby Lashley, there's no way you're going to sway Bobby Lashley. First of all, it's an ugly car.
It is an ugly ass car.
Horrible, ugly car. It's like this far off the ground and Bobby Lashley is a giant man. You want him to bend down like that all the time? No. And it was just a stupid plan. MJF is just stupid at the end of the day. His insistence on being part of the Hurt Syndicate. And then immediately after, he has that little confrontation with Hangman. And he admits, basically, that he's using the Hurt Syndicate to get to the world title. And Bobby, are you listening?
Oh,
MVP, are you listening? Shelton's never listening.
You know he's got eyes and ears. That man is powerful.
Yeah, I was like, buddy, MJF does not belong in the Hurt Syndicate for some obvious reasons. And then also some, you know, personality reasons. And Bobby Lashley is the only one who seems to notice this. In my headcanon of the story, I think MVP is toying with MJF. I think he's toying with him and stringing him along like MJF is a little boy, and he's going to publicly embarrass MJF. They're finally going to agree to let him in. And then MVP's going to be like, oh my God, you really thought we would let you in? Like the mean girls they are, they hurt people. They're going to hurt MJF emotionally and physically. And that's how I think it's going to end up going. MVP, MJF, I think Bobby Lashley is maybe going to have a match with MJF, or it's going to be the Hurt Syndicate as the tag champs versus MJF plus friend. he have friends?
Friend.
The only, I mean, Wardlow, I guess. Because you think about all the friends MJF has had in his lifetime. It's FTR, Wardlow, Adam Cole, CM Punk. Who else has he been friends with, guys? Nobody. I mean, he's done business with people, but he is like friends. So I guess unless he brings in a new friend and he just finds it, or he does business with Don Callis.
MJF does not have a good track record of friendship. He doesn't scream friendship.
He doesn't. But I mean, maybe he can do business with like Don Callis or Roosh and buy a friend.
You ever bought a friend?
No. I have a good personality and no money, so.
Put that on a shirt.
I don't need to buy
personality, friends. No money.
I don't know. Because it has to be, like, the only person is Wardlow. Because, like, can you imagine Wardlow squaring up with Bobby Lashley? It would be gold. But I don't know. I don't know where Wardlow is. I don't know where he is, what he's doing.
I don't think anybody knows where he is.
There's like really nobody else though. Like, who do you think?
I don't think MJF has friends.
I don't think he has friends either.
I think that he has to trick someone to be his friend.
Who's he going to trick?
MVP. He leaves aside, but he's a Trojan horse. Mm-hmm. I just pulled that out of my butt.
Perhaps. In my head, I was also thinking he could trick, you know, one of our little fresh, pure baby faces. Like Anthony Bowens. He just like tricks Anthony Bowens. That'd be so sad. But I'm still on my Anthony Bowens versus Shelton Benjamin agenda. And if that's how we get there, I'm fine with it.
Absolutely.
I'm fine with that. But I could see it being Bobby versus MJF, where Bobby's like, if you beat me, you can get in. And then the idea of MJF beating Bobby Lashley makes me sick to my stomach. I can't lie. I can't lie. I don't want MJF to be part of the Hurt Syndicate. Like, my enjoyment of the Hurt Syndicate would drop dramatically. The only way I want the story to end is if they all point and laugh at MJF and make him feel bad about himself. Loser, you thought you were really going to play with us? That's all I want. Playground bullying. Because all MJF does is playground bullying. So he needs to be bullied.
I agree.
Yeah, that's all I want. And then you have Adam Cole, who's TNT champion.
Baby.
So you got to believe that that's like somewhat weighing on MJF. Like that all his friends are successful and he's not. You just know that he's crying about it. He's like in his bed at night with his teddy bear, like sobbing in his pajamas. You just know it's what's happening. What is the name? Paragon?
Yeah, Paragon. Have you heard the theme? It's very good. I very much it.
The name Paragon is just so bad, though.
I mean, it just sounds like something origami. You know what I mean?
I also thought Pinnacle was bad. I can't lie. You remember the Pinnacle? I also thought Pinnacle was bad. But I also thought Death Triangle was really bad.
I love Death Triangle.
We are the Death Triangle. Like, because there's three of you, that's like as creative as you got.
Okay, well, what would your tag team name be?
I don't know. Who's with me? Who are we? Who am I with?
Me.
It's me and you?
Mm-hmm.
What's our vibe? Are we heels? Are we baby faces?
You tell me, are we heels or baby faces?
I think I would be a baby face. Mainly because if I tried to act like I was Pac or Bobby Lashley or like someone like that, I would just laugh the whole time.
Are you saying that I would be a heel?
I thought we were a tag team.
But you just said you.
Well, okay. Well, heels have more fun.
Okay.
They do. Chat thinks we would be heels too.
Yeah.
Look,
listen, you can't be a heel and be crying. So I think baby faces for sure. Right? Because we cry.
But then I wouldn't be able to. I'm such a hater. Like, my promos would be so mean.
Yeah.
But you think people would like it?
If we're
put me in a ring with Don Callis, I will make him retire.
See, then we would be solidified in the Babyface Hall of Fame.
We really would.
Mm-hmm.
That's our like superpower. We're haters and we're mean, but we're mean to the people that nobody likes, and that way they continue to like us more. And then if we ever do turn heel, it's an even bigger betrayal.
Okay. I like where this is going. Let's work, Chump.
We're like, yeah, I don't know who we're feuding with. I guess we're feuding with the Hurt Syndicate.
We're feuding with MJF.
Just MJF, our whole career.
Mm-hmm. And Don Callis.
And Don Callis.
We got a hit list.
Max Caster's on there. There's probably a lot of people on there for being real. Mm-hmm. But listen, I think that's acceptable.
This is the funniest show ever. So thank you. Thank you for humoring me.
I love that we come on here every week and just let it out. We normally come in with like some semblance of a plan, chat of like what we need to talk about, you know, how the show is going to flow. This week, nothing. We just showed up.
We did show up. But you know what? We showed up.
We've done 30. This is our 39th episode. We're allowed one non-prepared episode. We're allowed. You know what I also just realized? Hold on. When is our... Okay, so I'm going to miss one show in June.
Okay.
Because I'll be out of town for work.
Okay.
I think that's the 15th. So let's see. Okay. So we have 40, 41, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11 weeks until our 50th episode. So we have, hold on, May 4th, the 11th, the 18th.
Okay.
June 1st, June 8th, June 22nd, June 29th, July 6th, July 13th, I won't be here because I'm traveling. July 20th, July 27th, August 3rd. August 3rd, 50th episode. Start planning, chat.
We have to have crowns, everything.
We're going to have crowns. I'll probably be in, we'll be in costume. I'll wear a costume.
Ooh.
I'll bring snacks. We'll have like a picnic or something.
I'm into it.
I don't know what I'm asking you all to prepare for. Just be prepared. You have months. Get ready. I don't know. I don't know if we ever did anything for our Tag Talk 50th episode because our counts got so messed up, thanks Jeremy Lambert, that I think we passed our 50th episode and didn't realize it. Because I think what happened was we were counting by our playlist on Fightful Overbooked, and there were a few episodes that Jeremy accidentally took out.
Okay.
And so I think we passed our episode, but this time we're prepared. We know. So 50th episode, I don't know what we're going to do, but it's going to be a good time and you all should be prepared. The fact that we've made it 39 episodes is kind of crazy.
It is. This little dream of a show.
I just unplugged my phone charger, y'all.
How dare you?
I know. It's crazy. Some podcasts don't even make it to like episode 5, guys. So, 5 guys. Haha. But listen, if there's one thing me and Collins have in common, it's yapability. There's one thing we do really well. You're saying you're not a yapper? You are a yapper.
Me? Yeah. That was on my report cards in elementary school.
You know what was on my report cards? It was always like, she's such a helping hand with students in need. And you know why? It's because they would always put the bad kids next to me. So I would just be like, you know, like in elementary school, you have like tables. It would just be me and the bad kids. And they were like, we're hoping you could be a good influence. Who said I wanted to influence them? They can be bad and I'll be mean. Get away.
I mean, I got pleasure to have in class, often gets distracted.
That's why we're so good at podcasts.
Our friends at our local establishment.
Go subscribe, all of you in chat. Also, Mike says you guys definitely yap. Listen.
This and yap. Yeah. Okay.
We have done 39 episodes based solely on our ability to yap.
Exactly. Well.
From the get-go. You all knew what you were getting yourself into. Especially Mike. You've been here since like episode one. You know. Earlier we spent 7 minutes yapping about the fact that essentially we weren't prepared because Collins almost died in a Cheesecake Factory.
You said like I was in the Cheesecake Factory. I was in the building next to it that
That's
got
what
evacuated.
I thought. You texted me a picture of a fire truck and you said we're being evacuated. I said, oh, okay. I should be prepared then.
I love it though. I love it.
Do you want to do your final thoughts and your plugs before this goes completely off the rails and we get banned?
So we're going to meet at the Cheesecake Factory.
The one that's not on fire.
My plugs. Hey, hello. I'm Auntie Collins. I am your queer auntie for all of your crying wrestling needs. I'm a professional crier because this show makes me a professional. You'll follow me _ queer auntie on all social medias, Twitter, Blue Sky, Instagram, TikTok, whatever you want. I'm there. You should find me. I stream usually Thursdays through Sundays. We're changing up some of the streaming schedule. So be on the lookout for my social medias because guess what? RuPaul's Drag Race. A non-wrestling thing, if you love RuPaul's Drag Race, All Stars, the next season is on Fridays on Paramount Plus, and we're going to try and do an actual post show to it and not a day after. So you're going to want to tune in. I am mostly over at our local establishment. They were just in the chat, so go follow them right now. I am one of the few people still covering Ring of Honor. Our show is called Honor Ramble. Again, I'm a yapper. We yap. Because what else are we going to do about Ring of Honor? That is Thursday evenings. For me, it's 7:15 p.m. Pacific time. It is 10:15. So if you don't want to stay up, you can always watch it on the replay. Fridays, we're going to be doing our post show over on our local establishment. Saturdays, ? Not announced yet. And then Sundays, I am here. For Wrestling Made Me Cry, for all of your crying wrestling needs. Because guess what? If it doesn't make you cry, doesn't shake you, why watch it?
Period. Put that on a t-shirt.
Kylie, where can we find you?
You can follow me on Twitter and Blue Sky at Kylie Wrestling. I'm more active on Blue Sky, but I'm doing my best to remember that I have a Twitter account, okay? So Twitter and Blue Sky at Kylie Wrestling. This is Wrestling Made Me Cry. It's a show where me and Collins come and we talk about things in wrestling that made us cry. And we have a good time doing it. So we're live every Sunday at noon Eastern, rounds about noon Eastern on Fightful Overbooked. This is Fightful Overbooked. It's a channel that has a million things on it. Wrestling content, non-wrestling content. It's essentially a wasteland but we're just here and we're just doing whatever we want. on Fightful Overbooked. It's the Wild West. But you know what? Rob and Maggie, coexisting with Rob and Maggie is really fun. In the Weeds, if you need like your wrestling news more often type stuff, there's In the Weeds. There's non-wrestling content. Shows come up all the time. It's great. Fightful Overbooked is, in my opinion, our little bubble of some of the best podcasts in all of the world, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure when we're done here, you go to Fightful Overbooked, you subscribe, and you go to the playlist tab, and you go watch other things, and you find what you like, and you support people on Fightful Overbooked, because everybody here is such a hard worker. Not that the main channel, they're not hard workers, but Fightful Overbooked, we're a different breed over here. We are haters. We are motivators. And we are celebrators.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Put that on a t-shirt. But Wrestling Made Me Cry, every Sunday, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, 5 p.m. British Standard, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, midnight Australian. I don't know the rest of them. I'm learning.
The fact that you went that far.
I'm always here to help you. I'm always here. But yes, noon Eastern, whatever that is relative to your time zone. And if you're watching us on the replay, hi, thank you for watching us. Make sure to like and comment your thoughts and your feelings and your emotions. And we're still here. We're not like AI robots that are only here for now. We mm-hmm. exist after the show. So you can still engage with us on social media or in the comments or wherever you want to go. I did post on Blue Sky, and I'll post it on Twitter, our top 5 promo question of the day. And there's already a couple comments that are mad I didn't put MJF on the list.
Boo! Here's an MJF promo. I'm a scumbag.
You smell.
You smell.
Peace
this
out.
This city sucks. It's not Long Island.
Long Island sucks, though. I've been to Long Island, and it sucks. I'm sorry if you're from Long Island.
I'm not.
You can claim that. I'm a Floridian. We're not allowed to make fun of people from New York. We have a state rivalry. So, I keep my mouth shut.
Listen, as someone who lived in New York and New Jersey, knowing that I'm from New Jersey, I get it. I get it.
Okay. We should probably go before we, like, ruin everything.
New Jersey! Woo!
I did like New Jersey. I cannot lie. I've been twice.
It's me fist pumping.
Like. I did like. And I like Manhattan. And I like Queens. So, but thank you guys so much for joining us. I had such a blast. Make sure you go to social media and you leave your promos, your top 5 promos, AW promos. And we're going to have a good time with it. And nobody's going to fight. And we're all going to have fun. But yeah. Anyway, thank you guys so much for joining us. We'll see you next week. Same time, 12 p.m. Eastern, Fightful Overbooked. And we'll talk more wrestling. And we'll have a good time with it. And that's all. Bye.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Tompanda products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.